Sister Carolyn Gornikopkowski, a Benedictine sister of Erie, Pennsylvania, has been a retreat leader and spiritual animator for more than 30 years. Welcome to her conversations and interactive reflections on creation spirituality. May they deepen your love affair with creation and lead you to meet God, self, and others through a new lens. Learn more about the Benedictine Sisters of Erie at eriebenedictines.org.
In a recent podcast, I raved about a book that I'm reading. It's The Second Mountain. David Brooks subtitled his book, The Quest for a Moral Life. I haven't finished the book, but I do recommend it. He speaks of the first mountain as the times when we are centered on self. What David Brooks identifies as first mountain time is important for understanding the theme of today's podcast, Stuck in the Valley. The valley image is what follows the first mountain. Actually, it's a fall into the valley, a fall into ourself. And yet the author labels it a fortunate fall. Here are his exact words, quote, "In the valley, if you are fortunate, you learn to see yourself as a whole person. You learn you are not just a brain and a set of talents to impress the world, but a heart and soul, primarily heart and soul. Now, everything you do for the rest of your life is likely to be testimony to that reality. The reason transformation happens in the valley is because something that had been useful and pleasant now needs to die. That thing is the ego self, the impressive rational way of being that we constructed for ourselves on the first mountain. People develop this ego self so they can perform the tasks of the first mountain, but there is a deeper self underneath that can't be seen unless the ego self falls away." Unquote. As I read David's words regarding the fortunate fall, I couldn't help connect his insights with the four paths of creation spirituality. One, the goodness of creation. Two, the way of letting go. Three, the way of rebirth. Four, the transformative way of peace and justice. Now, these paths do not necessarily follow each other in our lives. We may even be in the midst of more than one path simultaneously. However, I found for me, they resemble David Brooks' theory of the two mountains and the fall. First mountain thinking is like path one, insofar as I am a part of God's creation. I am born with certain gifts that begin to be developed early on in life. Recognition of my gifts, a process of centering on self, is what happens on the first mountain. Part two in the creation tradition is the emptying, the letting go. And I found that connected with the fall into the valley, those times of our life. At some point, we all experience that life happens. Loss is real. And here's where we can be stuck in the valley. If we deny the fall, we are stuck. If we despair, we are stuck. If we fail to recognize the fall as fortunate, we are stuck. Again, I quote David Brooks, quote, Maybe some of us will learn in other ways, but for most of us, the process is this. We have a season when we chase the shallow things in life. We are not fulfilled. Then comes hardship, which exposes the heart and soul. And the heart and soul teach us that we cannot give ourselves what we desire most. Fulfillment and joy are on the far side of service. Only then are we really able to love. Only then are we really able to begin the second journey. Unquote. Do you agree with him? Well, consider this. Back to paths 3 and 4 in the creation spirituality tradition. Path 3, the way of rebirth, is like the fortunate image of the valley. Something catches our attention. We face our heart and soul being exposed. We face what is needed to begin again. The way of rebirth, beginning again. And then path 4, the transformative way of peace and justice, finds us in the second mountain times of our lives. David's statement, transformation happens in the valley, does fit the transformative way as described in path 4. I believe that each small step of transformation leads to further steps and begins to form the strong foundation upon which we stand in second mountain times. Knowing deep within that life is about relationships, interdependence, is essential during second mountain times. We read in this book, First Mountain Individualism states, you have to love yourself first before you can love others. But the second mountain ethos says, you have to be loved first so you can understand love. And you have to see yourself actively loving others so that you know you are worthy of love. Authentic love cannot be contained. It just bursts forth. It is an outward thrust, reaching out to others, overflowing to preserve creation itself. Count yourself blessed, mighty blessed, if you have experienced this depth of love. You have entered into the committed life, wherein you understand there is a oneness and a spirit that not only resides in each of us, but is the very energy that is vital to moving us from first mountain through the valley to the second mountain. No one lives, no one ministers on second mountain without being sustained by this energy. It would be far too difficult, since being on second mountain is all about giving oneself away. It is about surrendering the self and making the kind of commitment that we find in Scripture when Ruth said to Naomi, quote, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Unquote. Are you living, breathing in the midst of such a commitment? Or are you still stuck in the valley because you cannot see or you refuse to see that the downsides of life truly hold the opportunities for reaching upward? What is required then is facing your ego self, choosing life, opening to your true self while creating future possibilities for others, all the while knowing that the outward service will return untold blessings to you. It's like that boomerang effect. Believe and be grateful for the experience. One of my favorite prayer providers is the author Sister Maxine Schonk, Dominican. Occasionally, I include one of her inspirational prayers in my podcasts. Today, I reached for her book, and just like that, here's what I read. Here's her prayer. May God make you holy when you feel stalled or stuck, and nothing seems to motivate you, nothing seems to move you forward in your journey. In these neutral places, may you imagine God coming to rest beside you, grateful for the time to be with you in the idleness. May you take this time to notice where you are and to listen for the voices in your environment or within your heart. And may you experience the wordless presence of God in the quiet places. May the God of abiding presence be with you. Amen. This prayer is listed in her book under the word inertia in the table of contents. Inertia, being inactive, lifeless. In other words, stuck in the valley where you do not recognize that you are fortunate to have the opportunity to face yourself, the opportunity to release your ego self and claim your true self. The true self, the place where you and your maker live as one. So, either now or when you are able to reflect on your current status, ask yourself, where am I? First mountain? Valley? Second mountain? Where is movement needed to continue my journey? Do I believe in myself? Who might help me? Remember Maxine's prayer. May you take this time to notice where you are, to listen for the voices in your environment or within your heart. Believe and be grateful for the experience. And let us all say, Amen.
Sister Carolyn on Creation Spirituality is brought to you by the Benedictine Sisters of Erie. Visit eriebenedictines.org to learn more about the impact of Benedictine spirituality in our world and to offer your financial support that helps make our outreach possible.